Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Can't have a burger without Megan Berg.
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
And Christy Dougherty, the OG Prime Supreme. Plus our super premium sponsors, Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster. And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Happens.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from BsideBlog.com and the Banter Blender podcast. Joining me on this fine day, this fine Friday, is Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com and the Rose Bricks Bachelor podcast. What's up, Ronnie?
Well, hello. Happy Friday, mother truck.
Happy Friday. We're almost at the weekend. I am partially dead because I just came here directly pretty much from the gym where I just almost laid out on the floor and just evaporated into dust. I was that close to that happening. How are you doing?
Well, congratulations on giving a shit, because I am sore from crawling from my bed to the TV to here. It was like a relay race.
Oh man, it's such like, it's torturous that we have to talk about Top Chef today, because I haven't even had breakfast yet, and I'm starving, and I haven't even had coffee, so it's gonna be just like a bonkers episode. I can feel it.
Did you mean to starve yourself before the show?
Did you mean to not have breakfast? And on top of everything else, my dishwasher's on the fritz, and so a dishwasher repairman, they gave me a window of all day. So who knows when...
That is so them. What is Time Warner fixing your dishwasher?
Seriously. So hopefully they won't come in the middle of this podcast, but they might. So everyone just brace yourselves for that.
Hilarious. Well, it's also difficult because it was German Day, and I love me some German food because it's like the simplest shit you can have. It's basically flour and boiled chicken. Like, that's how I think of it. Or like, it's really plain fried chicken. And you know, I love to make some spetzel.
I know.
And I was like, oh girl, I got some flour up in here. I was going to make some spetzel during the show, but I thought it might be a little bit, I don't know, rough.
A little bit.
It was a very heavy mic.
Well, I did not make any spetzel during the show because, as I mentioned before, my dishwasher's on the fritz. So it's caused, like a backlog in my kitchen.
I know. I wish I could feel for you. I really do.
But I don't want to use my hands today. I'm done. It's Friday. I'm sorry. I'm just not doing it. I'm not using my hands. What I would use my hands for is to type watchwhatcrappens.com into my browser to go there to buy tickets to our Boston show, which is less than a week away. We'll be talking about Vanderpump Rules on the show. That's going to be January 18th at the Sinclair in Boston, or Cambridge, actually, technically. We also have a show on the 20th, but those tickets are sold out. We'll be talking Real Housewives of New Jersey at that show, the reunion, which should be an actually very excellent episode.
Indication.
So watchcrappens.com for that and merchandise.
Merch. Okay, everybody, let's get into some Top Chef. Ooh, now, just like the bear in my house, me, the bear slept hard, dude. Like, whoa, bro. Bears, you sleep hard.
Slept hard.
And then Bruce is like, you want some protein shake, Fat Joe? And he's like, yeah, what is it? Like, you guys need to shut up. Why am I watching this? But also, I love it. I love watching huge guys on little bunk beds.
Bears in nature. That's basically what it was.
Is that a fetish? Because I'll take it. I've never had a fetish before.
Fat guys on bunk beds? I think that could be one. Yeah. There's a fetish for everything.
It's like you could fuck or you could die. Like, no one really knows. Like, that's the worst way to be. But I mean, isn't that being a bottom? just in general.
Yeah, exactly. So
a bear.
So Joseph the Big Bear is tired, and Brother Luck, he's freaked out by Last Chance Kitchen. Was he freaked out by Last Chance Kitchen? What am I writing? Am I a lunatic?
Brother's one of those guys who's practiced for reality TV. Like, he's practiced the interviews to where he just always has something to say, so he'll be on a lot.
Yeah.
I never quite believe it, but they're like, okay, brother, what did you think about it? He's like, whoa, when it comes to Top Chef, the surprises just keep coming. You just never know. It's crazy. Sometimes it's Top Chef. Sometimes it's, oh, my God, it's Crazy Chef. I don't even know what's coming. I made up my own name.
Yeah. You never know what you'll find on Top Chef. You'll find people who have their own name. And the name doesn't even, it's two words, and they really don't make sense as a name.
Sibling cook.
Yeah.
So Amish guy is that dude who.
Chris.
He's that one. To me, he's just Amish guy because he's always like, in my culture. I'm like, your culture does not have spicy shrimp. People are
to
like.
He cooked one Amish dish. Because I think he is in a restaurant in Pennsylvania or something. So he cooked one dish that was Amish style, and you've been calling him Amish ever since, which I don't mind, but I just want to. Well, I don't think he's actually Amish. Style.
Yeah, he's part Amish and part not Amish. So he mixes the styles. I forgot what the other part was, but
I think you could just say he's part Amish. I think that implies that the other part is not Amish also.
No, non-specifically not Amish. How's that?
He's part Amish, part Shaker.
He's part Shaker, part Quaker, part Amish, part.
What are those people? The Shakers make the rocking chairs, right? But there's another one. There are people in Maine.
Cracker Barrel. The Crackers. The Cracker Barrels make the rocking chairs.
Not the Shakers. There's like a dwindling population of some group that's, I think, in Maine. And I don't think it's the Shakers, but I could be incorrect. It's like the Shakers, the Quakers, and it's like the Wainscoters or something.
The Wainscoters. Well, they have a dwindling population because they don't fuck unless they're like married or whatever. The rest of us are doing just fine because we have accidental pregnancy. Get on board, Quaker Shaker Amish makers.
But they make great furniture.
Yeah, great rocking chairs for when you do get pregnant. But Amish is that guy who like just sits around and talks about game all day. You know, he's like, whoa, man, you know, like I was really feeling that paella. And brother stuck at the table with him, and he's like, yeah, bro, it's crazy. Did I mention how crazy Top Chef can be? It's a barrel of monkeys in here.
I'm sorry, Ronnie. I totally got distracted because it was killing me. The other group I was thinking of was the Mennonites.
Oh, the Mennonites?
Because while you were talking, I did a Google search of Quaker Shaker Amish, and a Wikipedia entry showed up called Plain People.
See, that's what I'm saying.
It says plain people are Christian groups characterized by separation from the world and by simple living. And so some examples are obviously the Amish, Mennonites, Hutterites, I don't know. Old Order River Brethren. I could just go on. I'll just close this. But Mennonites was what I was looking for. I'm sorry. What were you saying? Something about Brother Luck? Oh, he is the worst. Anyway.
No, I'm done. But actually, Amish. That was a good education because I like that all those religions are called the plain religions because it. You know, stop asking everybody for more salt. It's the Amish edition, okay?
Top Chef Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Oh gosh. So Leanne is sick in the bathroom. Yeah. And Claudia's like, oh my God, I can't wait to tell the judges. Claudia's just going to throw Claudette. She's going to throw everybody under the bus at all times. And I'm here for it.
No, I'm very into Claudette. I'm liking her more and more and more. And I'm glad that she's back.
She's like, the tortoise shell glasses walk a little bit slower, but they always win. And I'm like, that's the wrong parable or the wrong fable. But I'm still with you, Claire's.
Yeah. I am just processing what you just said, and I'm really enjoying it. The tortoise shell glasses go a little slower, but they don't fall asleep at the end of the race like Bruce's will.
Yes, exactly.
So Tanya, meanwhile, she calls her dad, and I'm really, really liking Tanya a lot. I think she might be my favorite also because she calls her dad, and the reason why she calls is because she said she's sick of all the egos that are around and she hates hanging out with chefs. I'm like, thank you.
Yes, that's my girl. And of course I got totally worried because, you know, a big tradition on Top Chef in the first few seasons was the phone call of death.
Yeah,
whoever you saw call, calling home would get sent home.
Yeah.
And so they've tried tricking us over the past few years, but then they brought it back. So now you never know. Now it's like, uh-oh, it could be Tonya.
Yeah.
So I was scared.
I was scared too, but at the same time, I was like, I was thinking to myself, even if she goes home, the fact that she just is like, I hate hanging out with other chefs. I can't deal with the egos. My tolerance for bullshit is really low. Even by doing that, she's really kind of won the season just by announcing that.
I know. Cut to Amish guy like, wow, you know, the way the wind blows is the way my heart goes. And my heart's what cooks my food, really. Have you ever taught your heart to hold a spatula? It's like, oh, shut up.
She really needs to zip it up, although I don't believe in that technically, but
well, we were texting back and forth as we watched, laughing because Padma is just on a roll today. I mean, every time Padma comes on the screen, it's just like extra Padma, you know?
Yeah.
And so she comes on with Richard Blaze.
Well, wait. You're skipping over a key thing though, which is that Leanne went to the hospital.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I did skip it because I didn't know what word I wrote down because I said, as much as I want to compete, I'm worried about my health status. And I was like, what an interesting way to say status. And then I forgot that that's what I was thinking. And I was like, what does that note mean? What does ER mean? ER.
Yeah.
I can't even read myself. I took these notes like literally right before we came on to record.
Well, so either way, so Leanne she's not feeling well. Because obviously they just spent, first of all, she is pregnant. Even though we made fun of the fact that she mentioned it a million times last episode, she is pregnant and she had to spend the night on a freezing mountain with sleep deprivation and high stress, high altitude, whatever. So she feels like shit. And I felt like shit for her because she had to take an ambulance and go to the hospital. And in my mind, I'm thinking, they made this lady wait, 12, 13 years? What year is it now? 2018, and the show started around 2000. 13 years. She was on season one. She finally gets to come back, and guess what? They put her on a mountain, and now she's got to go to the hospital. I was like, this is just not right. Justice for Leanne.
I know. They're like, okay, the first challenge for the pregnant lady is to go through a drive-through car wash and then walk into a walk-in fridge until they're almost dead. It's like, what the hell?
The second challenge is taste raw cheese and sashimi.
Did you mean to plan this parenthood? It's like, what are you trying to do to this poor woman?
Seriously. And also, by the way, poor two. You know why? Because everyone this season has gotten a little, man, remember when Jordan left? He was a good guy, that Jordan. Remember when Gladys left? Oh, she was great. If she can go, we can all go. Remember when Paulette left? Oh, Paulette. And then this, they're like,
wow.
they didn't even mention two. It's like, was he here?
Because he's too agreeable. His name is two. It's like he's always adding something to the sentence just by being himself. I mean, at least Bruce could have said something like, hey, that's the guy who did all of my side work or my prep work.
Yeah,
I could walk from one end of the kitchen to the other.
I mean,
come on, Bruce. At least
remember Bruce when you were working through your sciatica and he like basically shucked all your clams? Don't quote me on that.
Yeah. Bruce is like, whatever, my hair is greasy, I don't care.
Yeah.
So they go into the quick fire challenge kitchen.
Yes.
Furnished by the Blue Fly Wall and San Pellegrino and Gail's Bad Patterns. And she's there with Richard Blaze, the only man who can open his mouth wider than Ryan Seacrest. That mouth, it's so big.
And Padma goes, hi, chefs. Did you finally thaw out? It's like, they're like, actually, no. We still can't feel our toes. Some of them are turned black. But thanks for asking, Padma.
No kidding, in your sleeveless dress. Asshole. It's like, did you guys mean to almost freeze to death? I know that you're worried because Leanne had to go to the hospital. She wasn't feeling well. But don't worry. Leanne is okay. I mean, I love Padma trying to pretend she has emotion. She's like, I'm furrowing my brow, chefs.
Listen, Leanne's a trooper. It's like Gail at a liverwurst shop. Oh, spoiler alert. We'll be doing that later.
She's in the ER like the rest of us will be after we look at Gail's next terrible pattern.
So they see Richard Blaze and Chris, Amish Chris, is automatically like, oh fuck, it's Richard Blaze, and all he is, he's only about sous vide this, air foam that, blah.
He's like, guess what Amish people don't have? Air fryers.
Yeah, guess what Amish people don't have? Sous vide, okay? If we want to sous vide something, we got to attach it to a barn thing and raise it up.
We don't even have Ziplocs, okay? We're not about to sous vide some shit.
We are morally opposed to the advancements in Ziploc bags with a little thing on it. Because technically that's a zipper. So then Richard Blaze, there's a giant.
I'm so sorry. It took me a minute to hear that properly.
Because, you know, it must have been so exciting. You know, I kind of feel bad. I imagine that Amish people must use a Ziploc bag here and there, right? Do you think that's allowed?
I don't know. I mean, I only know jars. From what I've learned from movies and like television specials. And from what I understand, no. I mean, you get cotton, a rake, and like a donkey, and that's it.
Yeah, I feel like probably Amish people keep all their stuff in jars. But on the off chance that they do use Ziploc bags, you know, when Ziploc bags revolutionized about, 10 or 15 years ago, where they started putting a little zipper attachment onto it, you know that there was a big, like, moral gray area. Be like, those are so much better than the normal ones, but can we do it?
Yeah, but it's not like they went online to complain about it. You know what I mean? That's the thing. You can always fuck over the Amish, because like, what are they going to do? Like, call somebody?
My Rumspringa was amazing. I use Ziploc bags with a zipper attachment, but now I've learned. I've gotten it out of my system. Give me wood.
The fucking excessively was fun, but the real treat were Ziploc bags. I'd give up heaven for that.
So anyway, so Richard Blaze, there's a giant chalkboard and it says Top Chef on it. And Richard Blaze turns it over and Padma's basically like, do you recognize these recipes?
Okay, one thing all of these recipes have in common, chefs. Gail would finish an entire plate of all of them at the same time.
This is actually Gail's feeding schedule. Bless her heart. Chefs, you can't scroll through Facebook these days without seeing one of BuzzFeed's tasty videos. Unless you're Gail. She's still on Friendster, bless her heart.
Or Amish.
Chris, how do you feel about that?
He's like, what's a hashtag?
Chris, are you allowed to use a zip drive? So stupid. I feel like we're being so obnoxious to Amish people right now.
I know we totally are.
We're being fully like Amish racists right now. I'm sorry.
It's just good old fashioned.
Just good old fashioned zipper humor.
Ignorant fun, guys. Come on. Let us revel in our ignorance for a while.
Yeah.
Also, I started coughing so unexpectedly I couldn't even reach for the mute button. So sorry about the cough in your face.
It's okay. I'm doing it also.
Cough in everyone's face. So it's all their recipes. Every one of them is a dish from one of their restaurants, right? And she's like, wow, octopus, that must take a long time. And they're like, yeah, that takes me 2 days to make. Hey, that takes me 3 days to braise it. And she's like, wow, well, guess what we love? Home cooks. So we need you to make this in 30 minutes because home cooks are lazy and stupid and don't understand 3 days of cooking things.
And Padma literally goes, we thought it'd be fun to look at each of your most complicated dishes. And you can see all the chefs are like, yeah, real fun. We know where this is going. Shut the fuck up, Padma. Get out of our menus.
Simplify them for idiot home cooks like Gail. And then Blaze is like, I want to see how to make it in a home cook style, but also maintain your authorship. I'm like, what are you getting into copyright law? Shut up, Richard Blaze. I hate when they bring him on.
I know. So they start cooking. They have 30 minutes to make their signature dish. Then a lot of them, it's dishes that take a really long time and they've got to condense it down to 30 minutes. So, Bruce's dish normally takes 3 days. So he's all in a Twitter about that. Claudette is making an octopus thing that normally cooks for hours and hours. Yeah. So instead she's
like, this takes forever. I wasn't going to use octopus, but fuck it. I'm calling it octopus. Fuck it. It's like, damn, Claudette. She's so mean. And then she just gets out a big rolling pin and starts beating the shit out of the octopus. I'm like, you just wanted to hit the octopus.
She's like, I pretend it's Joe's mustache. Fatima's like, Fatima has this sort of sad story. I forgot that she's a Padma super fan, like I am. And she starts saying how she used to watch Padma's TV show all the time, which we had learned earlier in the season. And she started, I got the sense that her biryani that she makes, her famous biryani that she makes, is based off of Padma's biryani, and apparently that takes a few hours or whatever. So she's feeling the pressure to make the famous biryani for Padma.
Yeah, and she's so in love with her. It's so cute.
Yeah.
And she's also in love with Instagram. She's like, oh my God, if I win this, my Insta will quadruple. I want to be an internet star. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. Just love it. Fatima, the internet star.
I'll follow her.
Yeah, I would too.
I mean, I could do it right now, but I'm not going to. Adrian is like, so I'm making these hush puppies, and they're like, normally they're like very, they're like a lot of fun to make, but you know, Le Bernardin. So in conclusion, Le Bernardin.
Yes. I'm going to try stuffing Le Bernardin into Le Bernardin puppies. I might cry.
But it's difficult because I'm having a hard time with the proportion of the Le Bernardin to fit into Le Bernardin.
And then Luigi is making gnocchi, but he usually makes like the scallop gnocchi dish. And he's like, well, I don't have time to really make gnocchi, which I was like, finally, my mother is validated, because I know that Rhonda is sitting at home. Like, I told you you couldn't make gnocchi in 30 goddamn minutes. So she was validated and he admitted it. But I couldn't totally get behind it because he put the ingredients, like the same basic ingredients for gnocchi, but he decided to just throw the scallops in the food processor as well.
Yeah.
So it would be like some weird potato pasta that smells like scallops, which, I mean, I can't with that.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to it. It depends on how it's executed, you know? It depends.
It sounded gross. But he ended up doing really well in it. But yeah, I was like,
the time starts winding down, and Claudette finds herself in some sort of weird situation where she's in the weeds, as they say, and lo and behold, she doesn't plate her food. All she gets is she gets a pineapple salsa, and after all that octopus drama, it never makes it onto the plate. So Padma and Richard Blaze,
she's like, at least I got to beat the shit out of something dead. I'm like, okay, yeah. Claudette, geez, hugs.
So Padma and Richard Blaze walk up to her empty plates, and Padma's so shady. She goes, hi, Claudette, what did you make for us? It's like, there's like nothing on the plate.
And she's like, I didn't get it played in. She goes, oh, well, as you probably guessed, you can't win this one.
Of course, that's what I always say to Gail, too.
She still shows up every day. What a trooper.
You should have seen her try out to be a Jersey Nets girl.
Luigi's like, gnocchi scallops, eh, Mario? And Blaze is like, I'm having trouble concentrating because of your epic mustache. It's like, how do you think he feels staring at the back of your throat? Close your goddamn mouth, Richard Blaze.
I know, Richard Blaze, you were a pioneer of the faux hawk, so, you know, just know that you've been, like, listen, you've had many hair distractions, too. So, there. Brother Luck makes a paella, and Padma's tasting it, and she's like, do you think a home cook could do this in 30 minutes or less? What about Gail? You know, she has limitations. Bless her heart.
He's like, yeah, it's two pots. There's two pots. And she just looks at him like, ew. And then Le Bernardin's like, okay, I made Le Bernardin stuffed Le Bernardin puppies. And Padma's like, is this supposed to be savory? It could use a couple of grains of more of salt. Like, her and her two goddamn grains of salt.
Well, remember, I think it was last year, right, that Casey was having perpetual salt issues, right? But Casey was getting so mad because she was undersalting and undersalting, and then she was oversalting, and she was like, I can't get the salt right, and I don't know. I don't know if it's me. I think it's them. I think they're out to get me. She was like, she fully went crazy over the salt.
Yes, and Padma's always, like, she'll never just say it needs more salt. She's always like, that needed 4 grains more of salt. That one needed 2.5 grains of salt more. And then it would have... It's like, stop with the grains.
I have to be very specific because I'm used to dealing with Gail. She just stick that big old mitt in the salting and throw it all in there. Bless her heart. She's not one for subtlety.
One time I asked Gail to pass the salt and she pooped out an entire shaker. Like, that's not what I meant, Gail.
Shakers are also plain people. Anyway, Carrie
almost is like, I know some of those. They would never come over for dinner party. They would never bring wine.
Did you mean to sit in the Shaker's rocking chair?
So Smiles Carrie is up next, and she's like, I made Prince Edward Island mussels. Isn't Prince Edward like kind of a perv? I'm not sure. I haven't watched The Crown, but I feel like there's some bad rep there with Prince Edward. Someone tell me. Or maybe it's Prince Philip I'm thinking of.
Well, Philip is the one who's married to the Queen. Edward, I don't know which Edward it is, but I think that Prince Edward Island predates whatever Edward might be in whatever Edward is currently in the royal family, but yeah. I think Prince Edward Island's probably... I don't know the history of the naming, and I'm not going to look it up. I've already done my Googling of the day about, you know, playing people. So that's going to be on you. You have to do the Prince Edward Island Wikipedia.
Don't want me Googling shit. I will never come back to the show. I'll just be like, oh my God, have you seen The Shape of Water? I'll just start thinking about whatever. But I'll start ordering hot pots.
That'd be fun. It's good marketing of a disease. Hot pox.
Did you mean to give everybody hot pox?
So anyway, Carrie makes mussels, and fine. Bruce makes, he serves his duck, which normally takes 3 days, and Padma's like, is this how you like your duck cooked normally, Bruce?
He's like, oh, it's over, I admit it, okay.
No, what's over are all the patterns that Gail wears. Bless her heart, she doesn't seem to know.
So Amish guy made pepper pot shrimp, which is kind of spicy. And Blaze, who loves saying it's the edge of spicy. It's like right on the edge. Like it's spicy, but it's on the edge.
Yeah.
It's on the edge of spicy.
The edge of spicy.
His jaw just unhinges.
Yeah.
Is this too spicy for the home cook? Like, what do you think? Home cooks are fucking idiots, okay?
They can unspice it if they want.
Yeah, they can't take it. He's like, oh, can home cooks deal with the spice in this? I'm like, yes, have you ever heard of Tapatio? Or like Tapatitos, or, you know, hot sauce.
Well, I like Chris has a good response. He's like, well, you know, for the Caribbean folks, I think it's right up their alley. And then it cuts back to Richard, and Padma's just staring at Richard like, you stupid idiot. We got rid of Gail for you.
So Big Joe made halibut salmorigio, and I like that he kind of can't really pronounce his own thing. He's like, it's halibut salmonorigo.
Salmonella. It's halibut with salmonella.
The one dish that could make Gail throw up, and she's not here to enjoy it. Thanks a lot, Big Joe. And then Blaze is like, it's very green and like almost bitter. And Padma's like Claudette.
Claudette's just still hammering on the octopus. What was that? She's like, oh, I'm bitter. Thank you. I take that as a compliment.
She's like, look, I kicked this octopus's ass and now it's wearing my glasses.
Is that like the award, the crown it gets? Like it's submitted to Claudette, so therefore it gets to wear the glasses. Why would she put the glasses on the octopus? Fatima serves up her biryani, and Padma just takes a bite and does one of my favorite Padma things where she doesn't even ask a question. She just stares and goes, thank you.
Because she goes, Blaze is like, can home cooks understand the connection here? I'm like, shut up, Blaze. And then she's like, yes, because the fried chicken is where people can connect to it. And then I added Pakistan, Padma, Pakistan. And Padma's like, I'm not falling for it this time, Fatima. Did you think you could manipulate me with Pakistan over and over again?
I don't stand for Pakistan.
I did move, Fatima. So the bottoms are Claudette.
And wait, and when it's Claudette, when Claudette is announced, Padma goes, there's not enough on the plate. I think you know that. I mean, it's almost as if Gail Simmons herself came over and licked it clean.
And only she would have. So
it's like you told her there was an egg on that plate. It's gone in 60 seconds, original version of that movie.
Did you mean to make this a Nicolas Cage movie? Wait, was he in that? Gone in 60 seconds?
I think so, with Angelina Jolie. Maybe not. No, I don't think he was in that.
She's like, Snake Eyes. Just kidding. I'm like picking his worst film. So.
Did you mean to take your face off? I'm actually Gail. in Padma's face. And I'm never Bert going Chard, back.
Runny eggs. What'd she say, Gail's egg tangent from years ago? So Laburna Dan's food, she's like, this is too gummy. And she's like, Fatima, I want to call out the Fatima. Okay, Fatima. When you cooked Western food last week, it was so flavorful. Why don't you cook our food like that?
Okay. Let's try to contain the anger.
Crawling into like the cabinet underneath the chef's counter.
She was like, I am furious right now. Look at my brow furrow. I have my hands clenched in fists.
Did you mean to betray our culture on such a deep, dark level?
And Fatima's like, oh my God, I will never masturbate again.
Oh, so no more social media star.
I guess I will have to settle for the 50 likes I now get.
Yeah.
So the tops are the Amish pepper pot.
Yep.
And Blaze, of course, is like, whoa, that spice was on the edge. The edge.
And then Brother was on the top, Brother Luck, for his paella and Mustache's gnocchi. And the winner was the Amish pepper pot, also known as the pepper pot shrimp. But we'll call
hashtag
it Amish pepper pot.
Hashtag you won. Get it. He's like, nope.
I don't know what a hashtag is. Just kidding. I do. I'm like, great joke. Did you mean to take a commercial break right now? So then Pam goes, I think you guys have been working really hard. So who's ready to party? None of them are falling for it. Because in past seasons, people are like, yay! Oh, wait, we have to work the party.
Who wants to party with Frosty the Snowman in his house on top of the highest mountain in the world? Anybody?
This week's challenge is stomach punching. I'm afraid Leanne won't be able to join.
Leanne. Poor Leanne.
I know.
It's like today's challenge, baby popsicles. So the Amish guy's like, well, I'm not going to be too happy because every day is a new day, you know? And that's why I don't carry the baggage into tomorrow. Also because I'm not really allowed to have baggage.
Zippers. Yeah, we'll get back to that baggage. Oh, zippers. My baggage is more of just like a sack tied to a stick. We take a lot from hobo culture, I'm going to be honest. So Chef Keegan Gerhard comes out. I recognize him. Is he on like some Food Network cupcake show or something like that? He looks like someone I've seen before.
I think, have you ever been to Disneyland or a cruise or a mall?
Oh,
that's
right.
Pretty much 80% of straight white guys in the world, okay?
Yeah. No. Oh, I thought you were going to say he looked like a big Disney character, because it's true. No, he does.
I just thought he looks like a big giant American, you know? He's like, hey, it's me. Summertime in Colorado is all about being outside. And she's like, we're going to throw a German festival.
And then they put a close-up on Tanya's unamused face. She's like, sounds great.
She's like, wait, there are going to be 200 people there? Actually, 200 people that are not chefs? I'm down. Never mind.
Can I talk to them instead, please?
So they have to make German food, but on top of that they also have to create a Radler, which is basically beer and some fruit soda. So
Keegan goes, all of my memories are about German food. No shit, you pasty ass. Okay, carry on.
He's like, I was born in Germany and raised until 13, so all my fondest childhood memories are from Germany. I'm like, yeah, that's because you were born there and raised till you're 13. So Joe, after they describe what a Radler is, beer and fruit soda, Joe Sasto goes, where I come from, if you order one of those, you get kicked in the nuts. I'm like, have you seen your face? Have you seen your handlebar mustache, Luigi? Come on now, don't talk about you get kicked in the nuts. And then the camera lingered on his face, which I think was their way of saying, we see you. You're the one who's gonna get kicked in the nuts for that stupid mustache.
I know, because Silver Lake is so manly.
Padma's like, hop into your BMW X5s. Poor Toyota. What did Toyota ever do to this show? I mean, this show is really upgraded.
Well, I mean, you can't have a German challenge and have a Japanese car.
That's the... Since when? Did you...
I like that you went to... You were so upset you went into a Padma line.
I'm finding myself doing that in real life, too.
She goes, so she goes, like you said, hop in your BMW X5s and enjoy your ride. Take care of them. I have to go make sure Gail isn't chewing on a shoe somewhere.
So they're in their cars, and Big Joe is like, hey, guys, pumper means this, and nickel means that. It basically, put together, it means devil's fart. So it made me laugh later when Tom's like, well, I love pumpernickel.
That's also the name of his new album coming out. I love pumpernickel. It's like him with a banjo.
I love pumpernickel, semicolon, devil's fart.
So they all go to a German restaurant to try some German food and beer and all this stuff and try some Radlers. And we learn that Chris Amish does not drink. He is an recovering alcoholic. And so the flavors have to all be described to him, and this starts to send him down a dark path. So much for not bringing the baggage to the new day.
Yeah, he's like, I brought so much baggage, I'm even buying bags of pretzel bread.
Yeah, exactly. So we see German food, and there's some currywurst. Currywurst is like my favorite German food of all time, and I was a little sad that no one made currywurst on this episode. It's like,
is it worst divine. Or burst? Or are you pronouncing worst versed?
I'm obnoxious. Just asking. It's really,
no, you're not.
It's spelled currywurst, currywurst. When you go to Germany, they all call it currywurst.
Oh, schneller Fatso.
When you go to Germany, I'm sorry, gal. Maybe next time when you fly to Germany, you'll learn these things. But when you've been there, you'll know they call it currywurst.
Years and years ago. And when I lived in New York, I worked for this traveling fine dining tent called Pomp, Duck, and Circumstance. And it came from Europe, and it was all these Cirque du Soleil type acts, and I was a waiter there. And so everybody there was on a visa, you know. They were, like, mostly German. And they would come – we used to have to do this dinner run where we'd all run out. It was, like, this big – whatever fancy thing, and then I always go schneller Fatso, schneller. So there you go, that's how I remember the Germans.
Schneller.
Schneller Fatso. So
Brother Luck announces that he wants to do a German spring roll, which my first instinct is to be like, I mean, if you can do it right, it could be delicious, but it's Brother Luck. And then we learned that his parents were exotic dancers in Asia, and his dad's stage name was Mandingo. So interesting plot twists.
I feel like at least they let him get that in, you know? They're like, okay, you know, you may not win this whole thing, but at least you're going to get pussy for the rest of your life. You're welcome, okay,
yeah,
sir?
Yeah, exactly. And so they're all running around Whole Foods as per usual. And by the way, I would hate to be in the Whole Foods when these top chefs are released in there, because the last thing I need in that awful store are, like, frantic people running around with camera crews all around them yelling about things like, you got the pitas, you know.
No kidding. It's hard enough being in there with the crunchy, dazed, you know, vegans.
Yeah, trying
like
to find
dried are... out and confused because they have no brain cells left.
And it's impossible to find anything in Whole Foods because nothing is where it really should be. So you go up and down these aisles a million times, and then all of a sudden you got Bruce barreling down looking for squid, and next thing you know, you're like commissioned to like carry his squid around the store, and you're like, I just wanted to find my peanut butter.
That is so true about that store. They're like, international foods, pasta. And it's like, okay, then why is the Mexican stuff like two blocks over?
It's like jelly.
It's like aisles over.
Apricot jelly, because they got every jelly for every fruit. It's like persimmon jelly, apple jelly, salsa. Wait, what's the salsa doing here?
Yes, or they'll have like, okay, here's the cheese aisle, chefs. And then it's like this cheese case. And then you're like, well, where is the cream cheese? Okay, maybe it's just by the milk and the dairy, stuff like that. Nope, there's sour cream and butter, but where's the fucking cream cheese? It's on the next aisle in, like, the fancy cheeses section. It's I'm like, are you trying to tell me that 365 cream cheeses, it deserves to be in the fancy section?
Exactly.
Come on now, Whole Foods.
I'm surprised it wasn't over by, like, the Tarama row, you know, to make Tarama salada, like that random, like, here's the fish eggs and the cream cheese.
Yes. Did you mean to stop at the fish eggs bar? I'm like, we do not need a bar sitting out all day of fish eggs. Okay?
And the cereal aisle at Whole Foods is the saddest thing. Because I feel like cereal aisles are one of the most cheerful aisles, you know, because you see all our favorite cartoon characters from childhood. You know, you see Sam the Toucan and the Trix Bunny and Mary Lou Retton on a Wheaties box. You know, all these, like, happy faces.
And hey, you also see Fred. Don't forget Fred.
You see the Count Chocula. And then you go into the Whole Foods cereal aisle and you see their off-brand Cheerios. And it's like a very sadly drawn monkey or something.
Or it's like a gravestone. They're like, you're killing your children slowly.
It has, Here's the Grim Reaper.
Here's the Grim Reaper puffs.
Yeah, like, all the illustrations just sort of seem antiseptic and sad. Like, they just have no soul to them. And it's like, here, have our... It's like life cereal, but we call it midlife.
Midlife. So, speaking of super sensitive people, they're back at home and they're talking about Leanne. Oh, were you going to say something?
I was just going to say that the only thing that was notable out of this was that Chris... He's not feeling inspired because being around the booze has taken him to a deep, dark, funky spot. And I'm like, isn't that the most German thing you could do? You should be super inspired.
I know. You don't hear Germans say, I made this with love. It's like, I pounded this shit out with my bare hands, okay? I beat the shit out of this Spätzle, and that's why it tastes good. I made this with fucking anger. Now enjoy it.
Yeah, you know, Schadenfreude is a German word. So anyway, he's basically uninspired, so we get some pre-made sausage, and we know that's going to lead to bad things.
And so does he, you know, but he just can't stop himself. He's like, it's not a good look. So Bruce is, like, super sensitive about Leanne, because everybody's sad, you know, because it really does suck. You finally get to come back to Top Chef. You work your ass off to get there, and then, you know, you're in
after
the hospital.
After years and years.
And he's like, well, we're adopting a baby, and he's due any day. So, you know, it's important that Leanne is healthy. I'm like, nice way to make it about you, Bruce. Jeez. So then we go to the and Leanne is hooked up to machines, and she's like, it's dehydration and all, and altitude sickness, but the baby's okay. Call me later, baby. And the way she smiles at her husband in the FaceTime.
I think it was spouse.
Girlfriend,
something.
Boyfriend. I don't know. Who cares?
Effeminate...
But the look of love was just so sweet. I was like, aw, I want that. And I want it only on FaceTime. I don't want it around me, but I want, like, that look from somebody once a week or something. It was cute.
I was really bummed about this Leanne situation. I kind of was. It sucks. It sucks because it's been years. I mean, Kwame, I love Kwame, but he's only been on for 2 years and he got a shot. And here's Leanne. So back in the kitchen, everyone has gotten their food and now they're cooking. So Bruce is making some sort of pork belly thing with Spätzle and a tart cherry mostarda, which is Italian inspired, which is his thing. Tanya, I was concerned about Tanya because not only did she call home, but she was making ground pork croquettes with a blackened spice and a Creole spice. I was like, is this supposed to be German? So I was very nervous.
Can German home cooks understand to this? Can they connect, Tanya?
Do they know what Creole is?
And then Fatima, I was kind of worried for too, because she was making a forest cake, a black forest cake, which I thought was kind of too easy and odd.
And she said that black forest cake is actually, like, omnipresent in Pakistan, which I did not know. That was a surprise revelation.
I mean, really, you could tell me anything about Pakistan and I would be shocked. Like, what do I know about Pakistan? Yeah. And she was like, hamburgers do really well in Pakistan, if you believe it. I'd be like, that's shocking. Like, I really had no idea. You know what does well in Pakistan? Gummy bears. Who knew? I'd be like, really? Wow.
Okay, cool.
That is a surprise.
Yeah. So Tom and Keegan Gerhard come poking around, and, you know, they're like, you know, it's funny that all this talk about bears on this season. They are kind of like two bears just sort of rooting around, like, oh, what's going on over here?
You got enough
meatballs there for 200 people?
Oh, hey, Amish guy. Hey, what do you remember about Germany, Keegan?
All my memories are of bread.
Okay, well, great. Good to ask. That's good. Amish guy, what are you making for your beer? And he's like, well, I'm an alcoholic, so I don't drink. And Tom's like, oh, so you're relying on the other chefs. I hope they don't screw you on that one, Alky.
Hey, what's Carrie? Smiley, what are you making? Well, I'm making my own take on the Hasselbeck potato. It's called the David Hasselhoff potato. I made it up because, you know, David Hasselhoff is so popular in Germany. Whoa, I wouldn't know anything about that. I don't know. Okay.
She's like, it's like Elizabeth Hasselbeck stuffed with sausage. He's like, whoa,
Okay, well, you know, our politics might be different, but I think that's sexual harassment right there that you just did. So I'm just going to walk away, okay?
Yeah, I can't tell also, if I'm aroused or concerned.
And Carrie, the last thing people remember from David Hasselhoff is that being drunk on the ground... Eating a burger video his daughter took to make him go to rehab. Like, why would you do that? And he's like, okay, well, here's my advice, Carrie. Please stop smiling, okay? Well, that would be great.
Well, this potato actually is going to arrive at the festival on its own. It has its own car that talks to it.
She's like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Get it? He's like, nope, not really. We're just going to move on, smiley lady, okay?
Now, you want to make sure this potato doesn't dry out. I'm already on top of it. It just came running out of the ocean.
Meanwhile, Luigi is just like in the middle of Babao's castle when the time starts running out. It's like... He's like, whoa!
Actually, technically, the music in Bowser's castle is...
But it still does that when the time's going to run out. It goes...
He's like, must get to the hammer. And Claudette's like, it does not get out of my hands.
Mm-hmm. Claudette. So I just laugh every time I think of Claudette because I want to like her, but she's so evil, but I still do like her, which is like wrong, her. Right? And I just know, and she's going to start with Tanya soon, which, bitch, you better back down. So
oh, yeah,
I'm
could be a problem. Yeah.
But I do like her so far. So they cut back to, they all go home after the day, and Leanne's like, sitting oh my God, it. Even eating the cereal is hard, so I'm going to leave. And they're like, oh, which is so sad. And Claudette's
they
like,
call
she...
it midlife. It doesn't taste right.
This whole food cereal is literally killing me and my child. So I'm going to go back to Fruity Pebbles. Okay.
Bye. I'm eating something called corn flokes. What are these?
It's all I dreamed of as a child. Shut up, Keegan. Okay. Shut up. So Claudette's upset because she was called, Leanne was like, thanks, Chica. And she's like, oh my God, she was one of the few chefs I could have bonded with. She called me Chica. And then Fatima's like, dude, she would have destroyed us though.
And they're like, yeah, probably. She would have. She would have totally destroyed them. So next day is time for the big German festival. It's storming. Woo! And the festival opens up and Padma walks in wearing, I think they're like circus pants or something. It looked like the big top. It was just tall stripes. It was very Hugh Jackman, Greatest Showman.
Yeah, Greatest Show on Earth. Yeah, everybody was dressed in their finest lederhosen, etc.
Yeah,
and let's see. Then of course the storm comes. It starts raining, and the Amish guy is like, "Oh my God, another thing reminding me that I'm supposed to be dry right now."
Today's a new day. No baggage. No baggage. No baggage.
One day at a time. One day at a time. One day at a time. One day at a time.
So they're cooking their food, and it just sort of gets right into tasting. So Padma goes up. She likes Bruce's pork belly, of course, because Bruce seems to be really good every time he does a challenge. So she likes Padma's Bruce's pork belly. Then they go over to Brother Luck's tent, and Keegan is not getting German from Brother Luck's egg roll. I'm like, yeah, that's because it's an egg roll.
He's like, he's so not happy. He's like, this loses me for German. I'm like, that sentence doesn't make a ton of sense, but I get you, buddy. He's like, I don't remember this. This isn't one of my memories. It's like, okay, Keegan's mad. Okay, watch out. So Tom's like, hey, ladies. Hey, ladies in lederhosen and funny outfits listening to the horns. We're at a German garden talking egg rolls. Huh, something's wrong here. Whoa.
Yeah, exactly. But to me, I mean, it's like, why would you make egg German? If you're going to do an egg roll, it has to be super German on the inside, like sauerkraut and pork and liverwurst and mustard. I don't know. I feel like it has to be super, super German. And I didn't even realize till later, because I wasn't totally paying attention, that Brother Luck used, what, Asian cabbage? Or he used something where he could have put in... Yeah, he put bok choy. Yeah. I'm like, dude... Like, I'm not even so mad at the egg roll idea, but you're now putting Asian ingredients into it, and you got to get over it.
Yeah, you're not even trying at this point. Like, at least, like, first, I'm glad they called it an egg roll, because he keeps calling it a spring roll, and no, it's not. Like, there's a difference.
It's an egg roll.
And if you're going to do that, I mean, at least put it in some pretzel dough wrapping or something,
like,
you know?
Something, or pumpernickel. Like, there were so many ways that he could have made this actually work, but he chose none of them.
And then when he, I'll get to that later. So the Amish guy's like, sausage sliders.
Yeah.
And Padman's like, did you make your own sausage? And he's like, nope. And Keegan's like, wow, this bread is dry. He's like, yep.
Yeah.
So am I.
Like, yeah. He's like, I'm in a dark and stormy place today.
Yes, dark and stormy. Just leave my table. Thanks.
So then they go over to La Bernadette, and Tom's like, oh, so Adrian, what'd you make here? He's like, well, I actually made a Arctic char, and I made a smoked beer that has like some fruit juice in it to cut the smokiness. He's like, well, normally I don't like a smoked beer, but this is pretty nice, and this cooked perfectly, but needs a little salt. Well, needs a little salt.
You know, Padma's going to be by soon to tell you how many grains this needs. But as far as I'm concerned, it just needs some salt. She'll be specific on the grainage in a minute.
Yeah, she'll give you a specific amount. But just know I need some salt.
And Graham goes, well, this is definitely the most ambitious. I'm just like, the most ambitious? It's a grilled piece of damn Arctic char, dude. What are you talking about?
So then Padma and Keegan go to Fatima's tent. And so this is the big showdown. Can Fatima redeem herself from her substandard, culture-defying... biryani from earlier.
And yeah, so, and Padma's like, it's a little bitter, but it has depth and darkness to it. And Fatima's like, la gueule? And she's like, oh my god, now you're getting it, Fatima. Now you're getting it.
Here, let me have this piece of cake. So Padma gives this face like, this is disgusting, send these all to Gail Simmons. But then she goes, good job. Good job.
And then Fatima's like, oh, thank you, because after yesterday, I don't want to let you
down
again. Padma. Oh, no, Padma, don't go, Padma. And Padma's doing that, like, awkward smile and backing up, like, okay, Fatima, did you mean to make me feel uncomfortable as I back away, Fatima?
Tomorrow's a new day. I learned that from Chris. So
over at Carrie Station, she's like, yeah, who doesn't want to fuck David Hasselhoff? Am I right, guys?
Yeah, so she serves she has her potato, but the main issue is that she serves an IPA that has jalapeno and limonado or something, and Tom's like, oh, it's a bit spicy, oh, it's a little spicy. She's like, oh, you got a spicy one, did you? Yeah, it's a little spicy, my mouth's on fire, and Graham Elliott? He's like, it's a little too vegetal for me. I'm like, that sounds great. I like a vegetal beverage.
Vegetal. I loved when he said that. He's like, it's too vegetal. I'm like, of course it is, Graham. Okay, come on. Drink your salad with your beer, buddy.
Then they go over to Joe Sasto's, aka Luigi's, and his Rattler is made with beet juice and something else, like candied something. And so it comes out this hot pink color, which already looks a little... It looks like borscht, essentially. And it's already alarming. And apparently it's just way, way, way too sweet.
Yeah, and Keegan's like, you described beer sauce, but I got applesauce. I'm confused. I love bitter Keegan. I like when he gets all mad.
Yeah.
So then clown music starts playing, and they're like, look, here's real people. And they're like, whoa, that was spicy! I'm like, okay, well, thanks for that clip. Then Claudette, Tom was like, whoa. Your liver worst? Well, that's it's pretty flavorful. She's like, yeah.
And then she fell in love with Graham immediately because they both have the same glasses.
Yeah, she's like, Claire's Lens Crafters. Oh my god, that's my goal. They like hugs.
So then then we see like a big sort of like montage of all the judges trying other things that we haven't seen them try before, and we see Tom trying Chris's slider, his sausage slider, which by the way is a pretty basic kind of thing to serve, and he's like, huh, I don't know if I like this potato salad, it's salty and one-dimensional, sort of like Gail's fashion choices, huh, see, I could do it too, bad.
It's not as funny when you do it, Tom. Like, oh, well, sorry. So they show the other judges going over and being like, I don't know about this egg roll, and Brother's like, well, look, everything I do is me, and I got to maintain my integrity. I'm like, I don't know if you're rhyming because you have a made-up name and you feel like it's your responsibility, but you didn't follow the challenge, sir.
Yeah, okay? Exactly. And stop being so chefy like that. You know, I got to be me. I got to be me. I'm like, well, be you in German food, please.
Yeah, so, you're not a drag queen. You're a chef. You got to make things that I like.
Okay? Yeah, exactly. Like, this is not... This is like this, like I just have to do what I do. I mean, it's important to like be you, but don't be you to the extent that you're just ignoring the entire challenge. So we wind up in the stew room, and Chris is saying he was reminded of all the demons, you know, because of the drinking and all that. And I'm like, you know, the usual stuff.
So sad, yeah.
It was sad. The brother goes, to cheer him up, brother goes, hey, Chris, you earned immunity. You earned that immunity. You beat me for it, so you know you really earned it. I'm like, shut up, brother. You are not the benchmark of someone's quality.
Yeah, shut up. You're the bench warmer, jerk.
Yeah.
So he's actually not a jerk. You know, I really planned at the very beginning, since we did our contestant judging before even seeing any of them, I really thought I was going to hate brother because he has a made-up restaurant name and he's like trying to be street and stuff. But I actually kind of liked him. I thought he was – I mean, I think
he's
good.
Nice. I'm sure he's nice. I just – the chefy thing – you know, he's like an immature chef, and I don't mean that like he's like a little baby. It's just I get the sense that he is young and he's still in those phases of I'm – you know, I got to be me. I got to be chefy, whatever. He doesn't have – the confidence of an older, wiser chef, and it's annoying. He sort of does a lot of the chef cliche things. I mean, don't forget, he has a tattoo of mise en place on his arm. Okay?
I mean,
let's not ever forget
that. You're right.
I think we forgot
that.
He's just like a chef cliche. He's probably perfectly nice, but he's a chef cliche, and he needs to sort of grow out of that so that way he can have that. He can look back and be like, I remember when I was a chef and I thought it was like all about me being an independent artist and a voice. It's like it's like what you are in high school, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I gotta be me. I gotta be my artist. I'm Lady Bird.
Lady Bird Johnson. And Amish is like, I want a drink. So Keegan's like, you guys took food and Rattlers to places they've never gone. Like, well, thanks for speaking out.
Basically, he's referring to my stomach because Gail always takes my portions.
So she's like, the most impressive dishes were Bruce, Claudette, Tanya, congrats. Ha ha. Ha ha ha.
Tanya
she's
wins.
Like, Padma. Oh, yeah, I mean, she's like, Tanya, you were so surprised when I called your name. And Tanya's like, I can't hide my feelings. You're right. You're right about that.
Yeah. They love Tanya's. And you know, Tanya had also a very nice story throughout this episode where she talked about how she really liked going to Europe because, you know, she wasn't judged for being black. She wasn't judged for being a woman. She felt like she could really just be herself. And so this has all been very important for her because she hopes to inspire people that look like her. And I was like, yay, Tanya, a little clap for her. I like that. So yeah. She won and I was happy because I love Tanya. And they're like, guess what, Tanya? You win a pass to a BMW driving club thing where you're going to drive on a track or something in Palm Springs. Enjoy. And she's like, great, thanks.
Yeah. She's like, wow, I get to go on a bunch of circles. It's like being on this show. Have you seen that? It is really cool.
I'm sure it is really cool. I just thought it was funny that's what her award was. I mean, she actually was excited, but
she's like, how about a Beamer? That would be like, great.
Can you just get me like a new Vitamix, maybe?
Could I get some copper pans and pots?
Yeah.
That would be great.
So
let's see. Claudette is in the bottom. Wait.
No.
Oh, no.
She was on the top. But in the bottom is Brother Luck, Joe Sasto, and Adrian, a.k.a. LeBron and Dan. And I was surprised. They must have had a very full episode of content because they didn't even give us the classic moment of Padma looking at Chris and saying, Chris, you're lucky you have immunity. Otherwise, you'd be the one going home.
Well, he wasn't even in the bottom, was he?
Well, he was, but he had immunity, so that's why.
Oh, that's
why. But I'm saying
why,
normally they always let Padma do that. Normally if someone fucks up with immunity, she's like, you're lucky you have immunity. Otherwise, you'd be going home to hang out with Gail Simmons and watch her scrub dishes.
Watching Chopped. But maybe they told her they were short on time because instead she did this. She started speaking with the baby voice and she's like, now we'd like to see Brother Joel and Bernadette. I was like, what is this? Like the rainbow of your emotions today? Shut up, Padma. No one's falling for it. Okay.
How do you feel the day went for you guys? It was terrible for me, at least when I ate your food.
Tom's like, well, that was dried out. And Keegan's like, you got a bag of oh, they're talking to Luigi. And he's like, hey, listen here, Luigi.
You know, your brother may be smaller and faster than you, but you've got a huge bag of tech. And, you know, it's bigger than you can technique. Lift sometimes, you know? Yeah. Oh, technique. Yeah, I was like, tech? I'm like, imagine.
He's got like, he like went to Fez. Yeah.
He's got like the Apple Watch in there. He's got a couple of Surfaces.
Listen, Luigi, we know you have it in you. We all know you can jump higher than your brother by far, but you also are slippery and you have a hard time coming to a stop. You got to control yourself.
And Luigi's like, well, thanks for saying I have a big bag of technique, because that's validating the struggle I felt. I was like, just shut up over there, handlebars.
And then Brother Luck looks shocked. He looks positively shocked he's on the bottom, because, you know, in his mind, he's like, I made an egg roll with bok choy and Peking duck. I don't see what's not German about that.
Yeah. Is bok choy not white enough for you? Padma's like, were you happy with the way it tasted, brother?
Yeah. Adrian, were you happy with how your dish was flavored? And she's like, yeah, well, I thought it was very good. I had a chef who told me if it tastes good to me, it's probably too salty to everyone else. So never salt anything. And Tom's like, whoa. You gotta erase that. Ooh.
Erase that. That's terrible advice.
That shit.
Yeah. She's like, Le Bernardin, ever hear of that? Also, I have a feeling whoever told her that was a smoker, because smokers have different taste buds, because we kill our taste buds. So smoking chefs do tend to, if it tastes normal to me, it's gonna, you know, be right on the edge, as Richard Blaze would say, for other people.
That's a really interesting insight, actually.
Yeah, there you go. Don't say, I never told you nothing.
Yeah. So Tom's like, yeah, your dish was just very, very bland. You have a salt issue. It needed 3.2 pieces of salt, kosher, or 7 table.
If it's pink Himalayan, I would have gone with 2.6. But the point is, you failed. She's like,
Do you ever use sea salt? As in, do you even see salt? Or do you not see it at all? Get it?
So Tom, in private time, Tom's like, well, we've got three choices. We've got a giant man with a made-up name who called an egg roll a spring roll. And then we've got a Bernardin with no salt. And, you know, then Luigi, you know, who's never going to be as good as his brother. So there we go.
And I liked Padma. She goes, well, another reason Joe could go home. We hated that drink. I mean, I was like, where's Gail to drink this up? And she wasn't even there.
Where's the garbage disposal when you need her? And Graham's like, well, I also hated brother's drink. So there, the chai. And she's like, really? Well, thank you for speaking up, Graham. We were all just waiting with bated breath to see what you were thinking.
In the end, Brother Luck went home. The best part was, what did Tom say right before that? He said it doesn't even matter. Brother Luck went home, and this he looked is, like he's gonna cry.
Yeah, this is basically what sums up why he deserved it, even if I started liking him.
Yes.
Because he says things like, look, it's not about the challenge. I cook Brother Love food, okay? Yeah. And I'm enjoying, and that's what I do, you know? And I'm enjoying where it's going right now, because it's blank pages ahead of me, and I'm getting to write those words. I was like, please don't write any words down, please.
Please do not bring Natasha Bedingfield into this, Brother Love, okay? That's not your show, okay? Leave that to Elsie, all right, and Heidi, and Audrina, all right? You do not get to write on the blank pages, okay? The rest is written, and it says mise en place, and it's on your arm.
Those pages all say spring roll. The end. Epilogue. Spring roll.
The rest is still unrolled.
The rest is still unbokchoyed.
Bokchoy. So that was it for that show. But since it's Friday, why don't we just mosey on over to the Crappin's mailbag? How's that sound to you?
Well, sure. Let's do her.
I love me some Crippen's mailbag. How about this? Oliver Haskins says, guys, Meghan Markle needs help, and she knows that you are the experts on Ladies of London. First, which Caroline, Sanbury or Fleming, should she invite to the wedding? Second, which expat would give the best advice, Marissa and Juliet, or Juliet? And finally, should Meghan play the Ladies of London version of God Save the Queen, Guess What, the Queen is Me, at her wedding? Very strong questions. Overall, Oliver Haskins. So, First question, which Caroline should she invite to the wedding, Stanbury or Fleming?
Well, Fleming, of course.
Yeah.
Because Stanbury will just snark on you the whole time. You invite her ass, she'll be like, oh, nice dress. That's a little tight, don't you think? What a loser.
Oh, am I supposed to stand for the bride? I'm sick of these rules. I went to boarding school. I've been traumatized. I can't do rules. I'm sitting down.
Yeah, she's that girl who's like, I'd like to give a speech. You're shit, your husband's fat, and you'll both be poor forever. Thank you for inviting me. I'm buying you nothing.
Congratulations to Prince Harry for marrying a commoner. Great work, great work. But Caroline Fleming would be, how lucky are you to get married near me and to be close to my station in life? Did they bring any Comte to this wedding? What a wonderful treat. You know, there was one time I went to a royal wedding and there was no Comte, and so the catering staff went all around the town until they found a wheel of Comte, and they brought it to me. How kind of them. I don't suppose you'll be doing that for me, will you, Meghan Markle?
I am so sorry that you are forced to endure this paparazzi surrounding me as I give a speech at your wedding.
It's like one little kid running around with an iPhone.
That's my wedding photographer. I hired him. Which expat would give the best advice, Marissa or Juliet? Obviously Juliet. I mean, you could theoretically throw Julie in there too. She's also an expat. But I would say Juliet. She'd be like, so basically, for your wedding, you just have to have like a bunch of couches around. It just needs to be comfy. It has to remind you of home in Chicago.
Yeah, like, if you're going to have a good wedding, you're going to need people to want to, like, unbutton their pants on a couch afterwards. Okay, that's how you know one is good.
And should Meghan play the lazy London version of God Save the Queen? Obviously. I think she should walk down the aisle to it, because it would actually would sort of make sense, except not really. God save the Queen, God save the Queen, and guess what? The Queen is me, the Queen is me. Kate Middleton is like, does she know anything about lineage?
And what was the third one? Oh, that's
that
it.
Was it. That was it.
The Queen is me.
Here's one. Oh, you know I love these people, the Quintars. Oh, they're actually pronounced Quintinars, but I like calling them the Quintars. And they said I can do it. They ask, if you had to do a zombie escape room, which Bravo personalities would you want to do it with, and who would be the zombie you're escaping?
Who would we want to do it with?
Like, who would, like, be in your escape room group? And, like, what zombie that's in there?
What, oh my, would, God, I'm trying to think of the smart people, but I mean, I would pick Gail to be on my team because she'd just eat whatever zombie was chasing me.
So mean. We don't think Gail would actually do that. We just say that's what Padma says. By the way,
yeah, someone said, you guys sure give Gail a lot of shit after you say you love her. Yes, we give her shit because it's just hilarious watching Padma, our made-up reactions to Padma's terror.
We've made up a relationship between Padma and Gail that's based on nothing. They could totally be good friends, but we just think it's funny imagining Padma as, like, the mean girl who's just constantly nagging Gail.
Yes.
What was the question again? Oh, zombie escape room. I think I would probably be there with Lisa Vanderpump, because she'd be like, all right, yeah, go clean up this part of the room and clean up that. Okay, very good. And then she would just somehow leave and just... she'd just sort of be like, there, it's all done. Because her escape room, though, would probably be something like clean the rosé glasses.
Yes. That's a puzzle. She would be the best one, because she'd be like, I don't like this room. Call Katie in here and have her paint it friends purple. And then let's take some of these petals off these mummies and just make them look a little more attractive, shall we? It's like she'll never even leave. She'll just be sitting there, like, trying to make the room look cuter with flowers.
I can tell you people I would not want to do the zombie room with. Probably Kelly Dodd. Be like, Kelly, push that lever. You push the lever. No, push the lever. I did. No, you didn't. You pulled it. I pushed it. You're pulling, Kelly. No. You do
it.
Hey,
zombie.
You.
Hey, zombie. Maybe you should be at home with your baby.
She'd be perfect. She just shames the zombie.
Hey, zombie, your zombie husband's cheating on you, and everybody knows that, you dumb. Boop, 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 bloop, 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 bloop.
Zombie. Who? Zombie. And then Peggy would also be bad. It'd be like, okay, so I think the combination is 3, 4, 5. What is combination? Peggy.
All right, wrap up that bag, would you be in?
Okay, wait. Okay, we are going to wrap it up. We have still many, many more. Wait, one follow-up question from the Quintar. She says, what are the 12 days of Crappens? I think that was a Christmas-themed one. The 12 days of Crappens are Peggy, Kelly, Shannon, Lisa, Sheree, Nini. I don't remember anyone else. My mind is blanking.
What am I supposed to be picking? A Minotaur?
No, I was just trying to come up with the 12 days of Crappens. Anyway, oh,
let's close the 12 days of Crappens. The 12 days of Crappens.
Well, we can circle back to that one.
Okay, yeah, because when I said wrap that up, and then Vespa called, and I was like, oh my God, what does he want? So I answered on mute, and I was like, hey, can you wait? I'm thinking about the 12 days of Crappens. And he's like, okay, gay person, call me later. I've got your gay bike almost ready.
Oh, okay. So everyone, we'll circle back to that. Everyone, here, let's close that up. Well, by the way, we actually have a ton of questions, and some of them have been sitting there for a few weeks. We apologize. The Christmas break screwed us up. We will get to you. We promise. We'll do some. Maybe we'll read some at the live shows next week. But until
then, that's a good idea. Yeah, we should do that. Yeah.
Let's read some of these. So, everyone, have a wonderful weekend. We're going to be back on Monday to talk some Real Housewives of Atlanta. Have a great one. Go to watchcrappens.com to get your tickets before it's too late. And we'll talk to you all later.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.